What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. I'm your host, Jim Greece, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Greece underscore, at Cageside Greece on social media. Full Press MMA, here with all the news, notes, hot takes, everything you need every day to be the smartest guy or girl in the conversation when it comes to MMA, the sport we love, mixed martial arts. It is Thursday, April 8th. Just 2 days away from UFC 282 in Vegas, and here's what's happening in the sport of mixed martial arts. And of course, all eyes on Sin City, the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas for UFC 282, a little over 48 hours away from the vacant light heavyweight championship matchup between Jan Błachowicz, the former champ, and Magomed Ankalaev, who has only tasted defeat one time in his UFC career, in his MMA career, as a matter of fact. It was in his debut. If you don't know a lot about Ankalaev, he's a beast on the feet, just so much power, knocking people out, but also pretty strong, and a Sambo guy as well. But he lost his first UFC fight in March of 2018, his debut at the O2 Arena in London. More on that place in a minute. But Paul Craig caught him in a triangle choke with about 10 seconds remaining in the fight. Ankalaev tapped, otherwise he would still be undefeated, the only fighter who has ever been undefeated throughout a UFC career, and of course retired unbeaten, the Eagle, Khabib Nurmagomedov, 29-0, 13-0 in the UFC after retiring following a win over Justin Gaethje a couple of years ago to defend his title. But Ankalaev would be right there had it not been for that loss to Paul Craig. Of course, Błachowicz, a defending champion who had one title defense before losing his belt to Glover Teixeira over on Fight Island in a fight that he didn't look all that good in, but Błachowicz, the kickboxer, the Sambo guy, Ankalaev, going to be a hell of a fight on the feet. Although Błachowicz with a little bit of an advantage in the jiu-jitsu department and Ankalaev with his wrestling. Of course, everybody talking about Paddy the Batty, Paddy Pimblett taking on Jared Gordon. And that is the co-main event. And when you think about Paddy Pimblett, we talked about him yesterday here on the show, that star in the making. He wants to be bigger than Conor McGregor. He's relatable. Everywhere he goes, he's drawing a crowd. Every time he fights, he's getting big numbers. The UFC can build around him in London. More on that in a minute. But so many things awaiting Paddy the Batty. But he has to keep winning. And he has to keep winning until at least he gets to the very top of the sport, which means he's got to beat Jared Gordon this weekend. And Jared Gordon is not a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. Here's a guy who spent time in jail, was facing 25 years. He's overdosed three times. He's been put in rehab. I mean, this guy has been through the ringer with pain pills, with heroin. It's been a long life and a tough life for Jared Gordon, one in which, admittedly, he doesn't know where he'd be without mixed martial arts. He was talking a little bit this week about guys talking trash before an MMA fight and what that would be like if he heard those things in jail, and keeping things in perspective. But when a guy's been in situations like he's been in, when a guy's been in positions like he's been in throughout his life, just to be where he is the win, right? So he's playing with house money. He's got absolutely nothing to lose, but he wants to be the guy, like it happened before, to derail the Paddy Pimblett hype train, right? He wants to be the one who puts an end to it, like it was done to Sage Northcutt, like it was done to Paige VanZant. Paddy the Batty, that next big push in the UFC lightweight division. But Jared Gordon, with that story and everything he has carrying into that octagon on Saturday night, the biggest opportunity of his career, is looking to make the most of it. Also on this main card, flying under the radar a little bit, is Darren Till. Think about Darren Till, the gorilla, and all the fanfare he came in with, the Muay Thai killer, undefeated coming into the UFC, 18-4-1 now. I mean, getting choked out by Woodley, getting knocked out by Masvidal, the choke out against Brunson. He had an eye poke that he suffered in this camp. He stayed away from his family. Darren Till, when he's gone up against people who can really grapple, who can really wrestle really strong in the clinch, he's had a tough time, but when Darren Till realized that, he started training with Khamzat Chimaev, who's one of the best wrestlers and grapplers in the world, if not the best in the UFC. So it'll be interesting to see, and can't wait to watch Darren Till in those exchanges. Has he gotten better on the ground? You have to think he really has, but it's been ups and downs for him. He hasn't had a win in more than 3 years. A lot of hardship there, a lot of focus required, a lot of mental toughness required. And Dricus du Plessis is a tough, tough opponent for Darren Till. I mean, this dude is one of the real beasts, up-and-coming stars in the UFC, but Darren Till put everything into this camp. He had a horrific eye poke leading up to UFC 282, and it was something. He was wrestling on the mat, shooting in for a takedown, middle finger. He said he felt it go all the way to the back of his brain, his training partner, who's a guy who competes in one championship, was whose finger it was. But again, over 3 years since Till got a win, he had a title fight against Tyron Woodley, and it was all downhill after that for him. Hasn't competed much, had the ACL injury last year. No fighter looking forward to UFC 282 and getting back in there with a chance to get a win and get off the schneid. Nobody looking forward to that more than Darren Till. Of course, Bryce Mitchell and Ilia Topuria, a huge matchup. You talk about Drakus du Plessis and Paddy the Batty. There are so many guys on this card with a chance to really take that superstar turn, and so many young fighters who the UFC is looking to establish themselves and have a chance to do that on this card, starting with Paddy the Batty on his first pay-per-view, seeing what kind of a draw he is. Bryce Mitchell, Topuria, du Plessis, so many of them, but what a story. Raul Rosas Jr. Think about this. The undefeated 18-year-old bantamweight making his promotional debut at UFC 282. He was 17 when they signed him off the Contender Series in September. Turned 18 in October. He's taking on Jay Perrin on the prelims here at T-Mobile Arena. He's 6-0, born in Mexico, beat Mondo Gutierrez on the Contender Series. He has the chance to become the youngest fighter to ever win in the octagon. Already going to be the youngest fighter to compete. When you think about Rosas Jr., that is absolutely incredible. And Perrin joking about it, you know, and saying that he's got some plans and a rude awakening for Rosas Jr. And he's talking about, you know, man, unbelievable. It really is crazy when you think about Rosas Jr. and being 18 years old, barely 18, and just an incredible, unexpected change when he got signed by the UFC. He had to leave hanging out with his friends at high school, and he had to do homeschooling, which he's doing now to finish up his high school career, but doing what he wants to do inside the octagon, making his debut against Jay Perrin this weekend at UFC 282. Elsewhere, we mentioned it yesterday, March 18th at the O2 Arena in London. The UFC is back, UFC 286. They've had two fight cards there this year in 2022, but it's the second numbered event in UFC history that will take place in England. Michael Bisping, Dan Henderson, when Bisping defended his title against Henderson a few years back, was the first one. It was the rematch, the second fight between the two. Dana White, UFC president, saying, quote, "Everyone knows how much I love our fans in the UK. We had two incredible shows in London in 2022. This time we're bringing a world title fight with the biggest and baddest card we could put together at the O2 on March 18th. Leon Edwards, the second British UFC champion in history, stunned Kamaru Usman to win that title. How about the rematch for UFC 286 in March? That'd be a good one. If Tom Aspinall's healthy, he'd be a good one as well. And some guy named Paddy the Batty Pimblett, who fights this week, will probably also be on that card, win or lose, in Vegas this weekend. The UFC in London in March. In other news, Sean Strickland, UFC middleweight. Look, I mean, he's a guy 6-1, 4-0 in the UFC, in the top 10 firmly. Lost to Alex Pereira by knockout in their fight in 2022. He wants a rematch with the former two-division glory kickboxing champ who just took Israel Adesanya's belt at middleweight. And Strickland talking about how hard he hits and dynamite in his hands. And he says he would do the same things that he did in the first fight. He would just put his right hand up a little higher. Of course, his coaches wanted him to wrestle. Strickland outspoken. A lot of fun. Kind of scary to get in the octagon with a guy like Sean Strickland. Doesn't care what happens to him in there. And, you know, he's a dangerous fighter anytime you get in the octagon with him. But there are some people in line for Alex Pereira. Adesanya had cleaned out that division. You got Whitaker and Costa coming up. Paulo Costa, by the way, still unsigned by the UFC. He has one more fight left on his deal, but in terms of an extension, turned down their latest offer. He's supposed to take on Robert Whitaker in Perth at the UFC pay-per-view in February, but Costa's saying he's not going to do it under his current deal with one fight left on it. So stay tuned there. Might need a replacement for that fight. Sean Strickland, of course, obviously is a guy who could hop in anytime and fight anyone anywhere, but he's going to take on Jared Cannonier on December 17th, which is next week, UFC Fight Night. That's a big one for him. One of the scariest guys in the UFC, Sean Strickland. And finally, I don't know if you caught Dana White on Paddy Pimblett's Chat and Pony podcast. They had a lot of fun dissing Ariel Helwani, talking about Paddy the Batty's rise, but Dana White's appearance included him revealing the three most intimidating fighters he's worked with. And that's pretty cool. And he talks about the heavyweights like Derek Lewis. When Derek Lewis comes to a stare down, this is a quote, "The only thing that makes him even a little bit not scary is that he actually has a sense of humor. He's funny sometimes, but God forbid you get in there with Derek Lewis and he doesn't like the other fighter. I was in between him and another guy one time at the face-off, and I started trying to stop him. I might as well not effing be there. John Jones is one of those guys, too. Jones is a freak of nature, one of the scariest guys and intimidating dudes right now is Alex Pereira. When you look at the guy, he looks like a stone-cold effing killer. Off the top of my head, those are the three that come to mind. Derek Lewis, John Jones, Alex Pereira. There are so many of them in the UFC, but those are the three who UFC president Dana White says are the scariest guys he's ever been around in his role as president of the UFC. All right, fight fans, that's all there is. There is no more. Come back every day for Full Press MMA. All the news, notes, hot takes, everything you need to be the smartest one in the conversation talking about mixed martial arts. UFC 282, just about 2 days away. We'll have more fight stacks for you tomorrow and back with another edition of Full Press MMA. Until then, fight fans, keep your game tight and your mind right. Jim Greece, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Greece underscore, at Cageside Greece on social media, saying thanks for being here on Full Press MMA. Make it a great day, fight fans. I'm out.